When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 149.
Season 6, episode 25.
Of Two Mr. P's in a Podcast with me, Mr. P.
And the other Mr. P.
And hopefully you have heard there our brand new intro jingle.
Woohoo! Look at us.
I know.
It's only taken 5 years.
Taken 5 years, but we've finally been able to move outside of my limited expertise with technology and realise that there is a bigger world out there.
It's funny because when you first did it and we listened back, I'm sure we sat there and like listened to the first bit of the first ever ep just to make sure that obviously it sounded all right. And then you were like, oh, don't worry about that intro. Like, we'll get something decent.
Yeah.
5 years. What a long 5 years.
I know. And if you did listen to the previous episode, you'll have heard some of our new jingles as well. So do let us know what you think of them, which ones you like, which ones are your favourites. We hope they are catchy enough so the ones that you just start humming randomly in the shower.
I think they're decent, mate. I enjoy them. And I think the podcast, obviously, you know, when it hit, or struck a chord with people, and you know, especially through lockdown and people were listening, the jingles were a big part, and I'm glad that we've got some jingles back, because I just kind of felt like something was missing. Like we were kind of going from what they called sections, not sections,
features,
like going from feature to feature, but it was just with chat, and I like that little
Respite.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. We apologise as well if you can hear a bit of muffling in the background. It is quite sunny in Manchester, which is a rarity. That big yellow ball has appeared in the sky. We only see it once a year. And so where we record in my little garden studio, there is no ventilation. So if it's sunny, it doesn't even have to be warm outside. Just sunshine, it turns it into a sauna.
Like a greenhouse.
So we've got the fan going. It's only on low. Hopefully it won't be too much of an interruption. But yeah, if you do hear a little bit of us in the background, that's not Adam relieving himself again.
Again?
Yeah.
I don't do that.
Yeah, you do. So, yeah, you do.
Do you know what? I said it before. As soon as I arrived, you've got a fresh haircut ready for your holly bobs.
Yeah.
And you're in that mood. You're in that arrogant a-hole mood.
What are you talking about?
Just giving me non-stop needle. By the way,
when have I given you non-stop needle?
You know the term needle, don't you?
Yeah.
So I'd love to know this. I kind of want to put a poll up. Yeah, like there's been numerous staff members I've worked with over the past couple of years where I've said something like, oh, you can feel a bit of needle there. Like, you know, even if two kids are not getting along, you might say, a bit of needle there. And then just recently, another member of staff, one of my good mates, Millie, was like, what does that mean? And I was like, needle. Like, it's like a little bit of bad blood, a little bit of tension. And they were like, I've never heard that in my life. But she's not the first. And I just feel like, I can't believe that people don't know that.
So the term needle as a verb in the context is used to describe the act of irritating, provoking, or annoying someone. often in a subtle or petty way.
Right?
Yeah. The usage of the word
describing
needle
you perfectly there, brother.
Is metaphor. You're just making up. I'm not even said anything. Is metaphorical, drawing from the physical sensation of being pricked by a needle, which is a small, sharp, and irritating experience.
Prick as well. Just throwing that in there.
The origin is not entirely clear, but it seems to have emerged in the early 20th century. Cites its first use in 1922 to goad or provoke.
So I always say like, or, but then it is funny because
it's more American than English.
We've got a supply at the minute, good lad as well, and he was listening to the conversation. He was going, I think he's a bit cockney, and he was just like, I don't think I've ever heard that. And I was just like, you're joking. I was like, mate, the fact that you just said that,
Cockney John knows said, it.
The fact that you've just said that has kind of started a tiny bit of needle. Anyway, he comes in the next day,
yeah,
and he does this thing because he's smaller than me. He like, you know, puffs himself up and goes like, "All right," like joking.
All right.
And then he goes, "Don't needle me, don't needle me." And I was going, "No, not the right use." But yeah, I told Cockney John that I'm working with another Cockney. He was not happy. I was like, Cockney Steve, you're gonna love Cockney Steve. He's a legend.
Who was it who kept winding John up saying he wasn't even from London? He was from Watford.
Oh, JJ. Yeah, one of the London shows. He's just like, Elton John. And he was just like, bro, seriously, like, I'm from the ends, mate. And he's just like, Watford. Every time the convo went quiet, he's just like, Watford.
That was needle.
Oh, that was big needle. That was needle,
so much
yeah.
needle. So other than that, how's your week been?
Yeah, it's been all right. Had a bit of a... Well, my weekend, I was actually relatively looking forward to it. My wife and daughter were going to Birmingham, and I wasn't going, so you can imagine there why I was looking
there,
forward
there
to
it. There it is.
No, but then, you know, one of my mates got in touch and said, oh, do you fancy coming Anglesey for the day on the Saturday? Bring Max, we'll go on the beach, have a kick around. I was thinking, yeah, that sounds sweet. Kim had took the car, so I was like, yeah, that sounds class, mate. Anyway, that mate goes out on the Friday night and goes Terry Turbo, which, you know, it doesn't get needle
We've
from
all
me.
Been there.
But arguably, you know, if you have plans to go out Friday night, don't set up an Anglesey date.
Yeah, but he doesn't have kids, does he?
No.
So it's a completely different mentality.
So then it's funny, I got a text message at 5:30 Saturday morning. You can imagine, can't you? 5:30 Saturday morning. I've gone full turbo, mate. Sorry for letting you down. Then I got another message at 7:30. I was thinking, there's no way he's had 2 hours kip. He's still going.
Yeah.
And he said something like, you know, I'm sorry I let you down. You know, I'm not going to be able to make it today. So obviously the weather was banging. I was right up for a couple of Taylor Swifties.
Yeah.
A couple of pints in the sun. But I had my boy, and obviously he's not of age yet. It's quite a while off, actually, for 14 years. So, yeah, just had a chilled one. Didn't do much. And then, what was Sunday? Yeah, just did, like, little odd jobs. I was actually earning quite a few husband points, believe it or not.
How? By just not being there?
Well, that. Not being in the room, moaning about Birmingham. No, I'm joking. Love Birmingham. Thanks. Buy tickets.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I... No, just you know, doing jobs that sometimes... You know this. You surely know this. You know, like, it'll be like, oh, can... What I hate, right, is this, the term... I mean, I don't know if you agree with me. When, like, your wife, partner, says something like, when you get a minute. You know, when you start there doing nothing, and they go, when you get a minute, that's needle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just ask me to do it now. And the other thing is, I am a man.
See, I don't have when you get a minute. It's now.
I am a man, and I will be absolutely hand on heart honest that there's some stuff that I don't do, even though it's blatantly obvious it should be done. There's some stuff I'm really good at, as in like in the house. I don't like clutter, but I was like, but it's like what I don't get is I'll be vilified for not like straightening the bath mat, right? But I didn't realise the bath mat wasn't straight. Now, what I don't understand is, instead of giving me needle, just simply say, can you go and straighten the bath mat? There'll be no issue. I will go up, straighten the bath mat, and that's all she wrote. But it's like, they don't want to tell you. They want you to say... And I'm going, whoa. What's the issue?
We've not got any initiative when it comes to... I'm blind to it. You know that advert? He's gone nose blind. What's the advert for?
I don't know.
It's like for Febreze or something, isn't it?
It's something like that.
He's gone nose blind. I've gone blind to anything that needs doing in the house. I know having the extension is an absolute nightmare, don't get me wrong, but it's sort of getting me off a lot of crappy little house jobs.
Well, yeah, because yours...
everywhere's a mess.
Yeah, yours is Dusty Dinkelman at the minute. But
yeah, yeah.
It's one of those things, though. I don't see the issue. It's like, what things I'm good at, right? I'm great at taking the bins out. Right, I swear to God,
only the big dog would claim that as something you're good at.
You called it, me.
Didn't
you called it?
I said it ironically, Adam, which is I can't believe you've just tried to say there's certain things I'm really good at. Right, one of them. Taking the bins out.
I'm telling you right now, I don't
who's
think,
bad at taking I don't the bins
think,
out?
I don't think there's many better.
Do you know?
And I'll tell you why.
Do you know who's right? really good at taking the bins out in our house? The kids. that's the level. Go on, right. I'm interrupting your long list of things you're good at. Go on. So taking the bins out.
Let's start from number one, taking the bins out. And I'll tell you what else as well. This has been a real big change for me. Obviously, recently moved house, couple of months now. My bin day was a Friday.
Right.
But it changed to a Thursday.
Ooh.
Well, my word, did that mess me up. I was having sleepless nights. Wednesday night going, oh my God, I thought I had 24 more hours. No, I'm good at that.
Oh God.
And I'm good at washing up, as in like, I don't like plate. I'll tell you what annoys me, right? This is where...
You got a dishwasher now, aren't you?
I am celebrating, I don't know if you know this, but I'm celebrating my 8-year wedding anniversary tomorrow.
All right,
yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks for remembering, best man.
Well, I've remembered
man.
That. You can't say that. It's not even your wedding anniversary.
So it's my wedding anniversary tomorrow.
I'd have definitely sent you a text.
And I'd say when
thumbs
mum
up.
Did. When, yeah, thumb up. Happy 8 years, thumb emoji. Like, what I don't get is, say, like the kids love tomato sauce, right?
Right.
So they always have big dollop whenever they have the tea. When they finish the tea, I don't like leaving that on the side because it goes hard and minging, and then sometimes it spreads and it goes hard and it's tough. The dish mic struggles. I prefer, as soon as you've finished, boom, rinse it under the tap, get it gone, and then obviously the dishwasher has easy work to do. Now, yeah. I know what you're going to say. How can you be good at dishes if you've got a dishwasher? Well, I like washing the dishes manually. I'm not massive on dishwashers. I'll tell you why. Do you want to know?
You don't know how to work it.
Well, I've only recently learned how to use it. But it's more when you've finished it and you open it and then it kind of hits you with that stars in their eyes mist. And then you pull out a plate and there's still some goop on there. It's like, what the hell am I paying for?
You know what that is? You've not stacked it properly.
No, I'm a good stacker.
There's an art to stacking.
It goes bins... stacking. No, so that's decent. And then it's more like...
So, just to recap, he's good at taking the bins out and he's good at rinsing plates. Right, keep going.
Do you know what? When I started this, I thought people were going to be like, yeah, he's such a good guy. Well, I'll tell you what my worst trait is. My worst trait is...
oh, here we go. Where did it start? Here's a list.
It's when I forget the bloody bins. No, he's like clothes in my bedroom. Like, I'll wear a wrestling t-shirt because they're just big and comfy, and then I'll take it off and then I'll just kind of chuck it on the side, and then it's like that classic thing, like, what's it going to do there? Like, is it just going to wash itself?
Yeah.
And then sooner or later, I've got a collection of 5 piling up. So sometimes, I'm not going to lie, I might dip back into number one, unwashed, see if it's got any sauce on it, and if it's sweet and smells all right, I might give it another
go. So basically, your worst trait is that you like to build up a lost property,
yeah,
or collection,
and smell it to see if it was a hot day, no chance. That's so. Just to move on from that, there was a video I put out before, right? And I just wanted to touch on this so I don't forget. I want to know. I was wondering how many teachers went into school today, burnt to a crisp.
Oh, I was.
A matter of weeks, even days after doing some sun safety with their kids. Because I'm not joking, I was in this assembly and we had two pretty much identical assemblies on sun safety, wear sunglasses, sun cream, go in the shade as much as possible, keep hydrated, all the shebang. And then the teacher that was doing it came in today, frazzled, right? And I'm just like, practice what you preach, girl. Which made me laugh because it's just, it's so true, isn't it? Like, there's certain things you say.
Oh, teachers are the biggest hypocrites. We talked about that in show one.
Yeah.
Which brings us on to show two. Get your tickets to MrPsPodcast.com live show. Get your tickets. Now, just before we move on, right, here's my little rant. Not rant, but going back to the whole...
Have we got a rant jingle? When,
I don't know. Rant! He's having a rant! When it comes to having a rant, he's the Kevin Durant of rants! I'm not necessarily going to rant here, but just going back to when... Do you know what really, really annoys me is when you've just sat down and then you hear that shout.
Ah... Oh.
Lee!
It's kind of like you've let out, I don't know if endorphins are the right word, but something scientific, you've let everything out and you've sat down and you're now sat.
Why is it never, why is it your partner never goes like, Lee? And you're like, yeah. And they go, hope you're having a nice relax.
Yeah, enjoy the show!
Enjoy. You take a minute, it's always, Lee! And you know it's followed by something that's just going to ruin your night. Folding the washing, doing something. You've not done this, you've not done that. It's always that tone. That tone. and it's never a different tone. There's no different, there's no like range of tones. It's not like there's a Lee or Lee.
Yeah.
It's always.
Hey, Lee, baby.
Yeah, it's never Lee. Come upstairs. It's never that. It's always.
How funny would it be though if it was like, Lee, come upstairs, baby. You get upstairs. Fold the washing, will you, pal?
That's, I mean, she's missing a trick there.
I'm telling you, another one though is, whilst we're at it, this is therapy. Whilst we're at it, what I don't like is, I'm often reclined. I think everyone who listens to the podcast knows that I need to elevate my ankles for for health reasons. And, what I don't like is, I'll tell you what else, I've got a new recliner and it's buttoned and it's mechanical. Is that
all
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is well annoying because normally
I can't work a dishwasher, but my God, can he recline?
Normally I go, you know, old school recline. I'd hear Adam and I go, close the recliner and stand up. Now it goes Adam and he goes.
So you're essentially saying you've got a mobility chair like now.
No, it is like that. I think they sponsor Tipping Point. But here's the other one I don't like, right? So Kim will know that I'm sat. She'll know I'm reclined. I've got the 40 or whatever. And
well, you've been married 8 years.
The kids will be doing something. And I'll hear this. Adam, are you there? What's the matter? You know what I mean?
Like she's a flipping say on what they call him.
Oh yeah,
I'm like getting the word.
A Jonathan Edwards.
Yeah, like
I can hear some barking, and it's got a big bark. I think it might be the big dog. Are you there?
Had to be there.
Oh whoa.
God. Maybe she might mean like, are you there? In person or spirit?
I might just reply next time. Like yeah. Like register.
Morning.
Good afternoon, Miss Parkinson.
Right. Anyway, other than that, nothing else to report, no. Is there really?
Hope our wives don't listen to this.
We go away on Friday, hence the haircut. So looking forward to that. So we'll be taking a 2-week break. We're heading over to Florida. We did mention it on the previous episode. But it's a threat. Because my kids are doing my absolute nothing. Right, we've had the rants about the wives. My kids, you can probably hear one of them. Go away. We're recording. Right, so you're making noise. Great. See what I mean? Did you hear a reply to that?
Was it great?
Great. And I tell you what, he's grating on me.
Oh, nice use of the homophone there.
Do you know, we're about to go away and they just, I don't know if anyone else finds this with, so the 12... And obviously, they're just at that age where they bicker with each other.
And they're not as cute anymore.
They're not as cute anymore.
I'm not saying that about the trips. I love the triplets with all my heart, you know that. But, you know, you have those really cute years. Then you have the gappy teeth years where it's like, oh, then they get the teeth back and it's like, oh, they're getting older, still yeah, cute. But still now, they're getting to the point of...
And because they're at secondary school and they're obviously mixing with other kids, it's not as innocent. Just they're answering back. Just disrespect. Disrespect. But...
They're probably learning from you. Lee, what? Can you hold the washing? Great!
Yeah, to be fair. But do you know what? Here's another thing that really annoys me.
Here we go.
Because we went for something to eat with mum and dad last night, and can you say anything to mum and dad about your kids without them going...
Oh, standing up for him.
No, no, not standing up for them, but going, oh, well, takes me back. So what you were like, so I was going, they're always big... Oh, well.
Oh.
And they make it out like we were the worst kids in the world.
On Facebook? Oh, on Facebook? Oh, mum put up, just watched Air, the Michael Jordan story about
great,
Michael Jordan's
film.
One. Great
the
film.
And when then did it's you like,
Did you watch it? She watched it the other night, two, three nights ago.
Well, she couldn't have because when I said, have you watched Air, she went, no.
Oh, maybe
did she say, yeah?
No, because she put up that status on Facebook where she's like, I completely agree with Michael Jordan's mother. Like, you've got to have faith in your children. Like, I know how brilliant they are. I'm just like, well, I thought we were bickering rat bags.
She was slagging me off something royal.
Yeah.
She was telling the story of that holiday.
Oh, baby.
That holiday.
That holiday.
Have we ever told this story?
My
mother had story time with the trips, which basically gave them the excuse. This is the problem with... grandparents. They're great in one respect, but then they undermine you in a lot of ways.
Classic. Daddy can have another ice lolly. This is what Isla does to me all the time. Daddy can have another ice lolly. She's literally just had one. No, you've already had one. Grandma, can I have another ice lolly? Because I really like them. And then she'll be like, go on then, don't tell your dad.
Yeah.
I'm reclined right next to you, mum.
What is it? If mum says no, dad says maybe, and grandma says yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just can't... So going back, so I was, what, 15? So
yeah.
I was at peak puberty, that age where I think I know better than everyone else. I accept I was a bit of a moody teenager.
To be fair, I don't want to sound mopey or sentimental, but to be fair to you, you were a much better brother when we were younger than you are now. Like, you were, to be fair to you, you were, and I'll tell you for why. There's a memory, and I'm going to throw the year out, 2002. So how old would you have been, 2002?
15,
17. So 17, so yeah, I'd have been 13. You'd recently passed your driving test, and on a random Sunday afternoon when I'd done nothing all weekend, you took me to the cinema to watch Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, and bought me my first cinema nachos. And I was like, I always used to think that, what a mint brother.
Yeah.
Now, thumb emoji. Nothing. Where's Attack of the Goddamn Clones?
Anyway, bloody hell. I was just at that age where I thought it was better than everyone goes through it. Anyway, we'd gone, so part of this complex that we were on, there was different pools, and we'd gone to this one pool, and we were all in our flip-flops, and I'd walked and stubbed my toe, and and Ryan, our other brother, literally put his face right to my face and went, ha, you know, like Nelson out of Simpsons, like proper sarcastic, I've just stubbed I honestly stubbed it that bad I thought I'd broken it. The pain was unbearable.
Karma was a bitch.
And he just put his feet and went, ha ha. So I gave him the sweetest dead arm he's ever had probably in his life. Caught him sweet as a nut. And he just burst into tears, right? Now, this must have come at the point where, like, I'd pushed my mum and dad.
Yeah, button. You were
pushed
vile.
Him to the brink. And you, little grass, went running back home to mum.
Hey, difficult in flip-flops as well.
Well, that's what mum says. All she heard is flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop. And she was like, and you were like, oh, mum, Ryan and Lee are fighting. And then Ryan comes back, like, holding his arm, playing a proper victim. And I left it a few minutes thinking, I'll let them cool that anyway. Walk back
you
to the
You
walk home.
Back in. Do you want a
walk
spoon with that bowl?
Walk back to that apartment.
No, and you hopped on your bed, didn't you? I remember it.
I got pushed on the bed. And I got thrown on the bed and Dad just started giving me dead arms, like, how do you like it? How do you like it? And in all of it, the worst part was, as he was like digging me, he hit the stub toe again, which absolutely...
Shows Dad's aim. Oh, you want a dead arm? Hit your toe.
And absolutely, and I mean, it's a good job.
To be
good
fair,
job
though,
good job the internet went around, because childlike would have been getting.
But Dad wasn't that guy.
No, he wasn't.
He was
really
never that guy. And I think he wanted to make a show of you as the eldest. He expected better, and you were good.
Like with everything else,
you
the
were
example,
good.
The experiment, and then I got grounded and couldn't play in the football tournament.
The football tournament, which I personally believe that we played against Lionel Messi.
You couldn't have. He's Argentinian.
He played for Barca.
Yeah, but we were in Mallorca.
He's my age. The guy said, that kid over there, he's Argentinian. He plays for Barcelona. He had a Barca shirt on. He had long hair. He was tiny. And I was thinking, I'm going to nail him. He absolutely ripped me a Spanish new one. I swear, I was telling the kids in my school.
I refuse to believe it because I was stuck in my hotel room.
We had a video of it as well.
What year would it have been? What year would it have been? 15, 2000? Give me a song. Give me a song in 2000 that I'd have been listening to.
Miss Jackson, when was that?
Sorry, Miss Jackson.
Yeah, but
for real. And
I told the kids in school the other day when they were going, who's the best, Messi or Ronaldo? I went, oh, difficult. I've played against Messi though.
Right, okay. So, we love grandparents, but my God. They just undermine
it
you all the
so
time.
It is so true, though.
Because they were like, oh, bickering worthy. Oh, let me tell you about... You know, it's
I've
like,
been
mum,
getting
mum,
this, mum. I've been no. getting this thing from Dad recently. So, obviously, our dad, absolute legend. Can't punch for shit, but he's a legend. And he, you know, when we were growing up, I don't know if we've touched on this, he had two jobs, didn't he? We, you know.
Yeah.
And he worked in the day, 9 to 5, get us home, get us tea. My mum would come back, and then once my mum had come back, our dad would go back out, and he'd do taxi driving until like 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
Get back up for his 9 to 5. How he did it, I will never know, and that's why, you know, hopefully he's instilled a good work ethic when not reclined
in me.
Listen, without Dad, there's
one
no
of
way,
the three.
Without Dad, there's no way those bins are getting taken out as well as they are. And but he started
those
doing. He
don't rinse them.
He started doing this to me now. I'll come back. Now it might be.
Oh, he's not doing the old.
No, the day after. The day
if
after.
You say you're tired. He's like, you don't yeah, know the word yeah, tired.
Well, it's that, but it's like, you know, I'll come back from school. It's been a tough day. Max has been up in the night. Like he was up. Max was up 2 a.m. today, right? And he was awake. Normally he'll go from 2 till 4 awake. Then he'll go back to sleep, and then we have to wake him for nursery. He woke up at 2, wanted to play with his Dougie figures, and went to nursery with no oh other God. Sleep. And it was tough. But I'll come back, and there was a thing where my dad was trying to explain something to me the other day, and I was completely... Now, it could have been ADD, but it was just pure tiredness, and I was literally not listening to a word he was saying. And he went, Adam, do you hear that? And I went... Oh God, I was like, sorry, Dad. And he went, oh, bloody hell. He went, I think I managed with 3 kids and 2 jobs. And I was like, it's not a tally chart, Dad. Anyway, now we've moaned about our partners, our kids and our parents.
We'll take a quick break and we'll come back with some features.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Right, okay, we are going to kick off with another one of your dilemmas.
Yes. I'm liking this feature, I have to be honest.
Help me, I have a dilemma. It's causing more pain than a vinegar enema. Help me, please, I need you to. Mr. P, some help from you, please.
So this one, sort of a school-related one, but isn't. So, dear to Mr. P's, I hope you are both doing well.
Nah.
Yeah. I'm an avid listener of your podcast and I need some advice on a delicate situation. I've been carpooling to work with a fellow teacher for a while now, but I've grown increasingly concerned about their driving skills. To be honest, it feels like I'm risking my life every time I get in a car with them. How they ever pass their test, I do not know. The annoying thing is they're so oblivious to just how crap they are at driving, but weirdly, as a teacher, are so attentive to every aspect of their job. I know teaching is a stressful job, but driving to and from work with her, putting my life in her hands, is by far the most stressful thing. I really want to find a way to stop carpooling with this colleague without offending or hurting their feelings. I don't want to damage our professional relationship or make things awkward at work. Could you please provide some advice on how to tactically navigate this situation and put an end to the carpool arrangement without causing any hard feelings? Thank you so much for your help. Sincerely, a concerned carpooler. I've got a simple, simple solution to this.
Stop carpooling.
Just get a bike. Just get a bike. That easy.
Then you become one of those lycra wankers.
Well, potentially, yeah, but easiest way out of that. I mean, you've got to then bike.
There's also...
Which, to be fair, anyone driving knows cyclists can be a hazard. But easy way out, because just like, look, really appreciate it, but...
I'm going to exercise. Thinking of
getting active, getting fit, you know, sunshining. You know, I think I could bike it.
That's honest. I mean, there's a couple of questions. So when you talk about carpooling, is that basically they drive one day, you drive the other? Or is
Yeah, but you just sort of share the petrol load, don't you? So you're being more green and more environmentally friendly.
I'd just simply say, listen, I don't feel comfortable. Your driving's terrible. It's all about honesty. Like, you need to be honest. I just be like...
Yeah, but people take offence, don't they? People don't realise it. Like, some people are absolutely dreadful drivers. This is where I cannot wait until driverless cars are a thing. You know I do a lot of miles. I put a lot of miles on the clock. And the one thing that annoys me is just how rubbish some people are at driving.
Yeah. Yeah, I know we've talked about, like, drivers and the lack of thank you when you let them through. Yeah. That drives me bonkers. But I just think... It is a tough one, but it makes me laugh that I keep thinking that if she carries on carpooling, is it going to just go, you know, one day she might wear an elbow pad and be like, ooh, she's got a bit of a bad elbow suddenly. 2 weeks down the line, she got a helmet.
Yeah, like full
neck,
on.
Yeah, neck pillows. Yeah,
full protection.
That is an awkward one. I mean, you'd have to just make the cruel call and be like, oh, do you know what I'm thinking of doing? I'm thinking, you know, We need to support the public transport sector. So
yeah, you could go down that route.
You could go public transport sector.
Oh, I've won a bus pass in a raffle.
Yeah.
One of them.
What raffle?
I don't know. Don't have to explain yourself.
What did you win? Chocolates? Wine? A bus ticket? No, but it's true.
I reckon if you look, because it's that time in it where schools are organising some affairs, tombolas at some affairs, some of the rubbish you can win. A bus pass would be up there as quite useful.
It would be.
Better sometimes, than a shampoo bottle.
Or an out-of-date Fanta that's got bits of orange in it.
Yeah.
Right, own up whoever donates that. Yeah, I mean, that's a good dilemma. I think, to be honest, they've passed the test. You might just be a little bit, one of those, what is it, passengers, backseat drivers or whatever you call them. That's another thing. I cannot stand getting criticised when I'm driving. Now, I was a late driver. I think I'm quite a good driver. I know I've got concentration issues, but I make sure that I'm really on it all the time. And there's like a few things of like, you know, you see something out the corner of your eye and you're already on it.
You're a nervy driver. If I go back to those tour days, on the one occasion you drove, in that 50-date tour. Right.
Look at you here.
You were going mad because you were struggling to navigate and drive at the same time. You were giving Dad some grief, if I remember correctly.
No, but Dad is a shocking backseat driver. You know that. Where he goes, oh, you should have gone left there. This is a mile ago. Like, well, he's now recalculated, added on 50 minutes. Well, you should have been looking then.
Yeah.
How did you get managed to drive with two jobs, three kids? No, but it's true. I think I'm a good driver, and I'll spot something and I'll go, or I'll see someone pull out and I'll know, and then, you know, Kim will be in shotgun going, I didn't walk out. And yeah, I'll go, you're going to make me crash.
Yeah, I get that. I get that a lot where it's like,
brake.
It's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
The Tesla brakes itself.
Cherry Tesla. Tell you what else as well. Here's another one for you. When you're driving and you're like, you know, and someone may suddenly stop in front of you a bit quicker than you imagined. So you just, you know, press the brake, then it kind of comes to a bit more of a sudden halt than you used to. The overreaction. Oh, yeah. Like a crash test dummy. I'm like, what?
We're not in bloody Fast and Furious. Yeah,
believe in Diesel.
Hey, I'm trying to drive for my family.
Right, so
that dilemma turned into criticizing partners again. We are both happily married.
For now. Solution, get a bike.
Or public transport.
Public transport or bike.
Or if you're going to go for the honesty, just sit down and say, listen.
If you get them in the Secret Santa, buy them a copy of the Highway Code. That could be a solution.
Yeah.
What else? An A to Z. Sell A to Z.
A to Z. Jesus.
This is one thing I do not get. Like, I know we were saying before about Dad, how he was using. Now, I rarely accept when an older generation says, like, you don't know you're born, you don't know how easy you've got it. And in fact, there was a ridiculous article in the, I think it was the Telegraph, which really got my back up, and I made a post about it where someone said, snowflake children have to learn that exams should be difficult. Students are so lacking in resilience, they cry when they can't answer a question.
Well, you try really and read a text on bats.
Yeah, it really got my back up. So I made a little video about that, actually, because it really, yeah. And I very rarely accept when older generations, but if there's one thing that I have so much respect for the older generation, it's being able to drive without a sat nav.
Getting from A to B, or should we say A to Z?
Yeah, I genuinely don't know. I mean, I started at the first couple of drives I did. Sat navs weren't integrated into your car.
No, TomToms were big. TomToms.
You had to buy a separate sat nav, which as a student couldn't afford. So I remember when I had a girlfriend who went to Chester Uni, printing out a route plan.
The route plan
from the AA.
Yeah, good.
And then you'd have it in your passenger seat.
Yeah.
And you're trying to read. It was so dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
So dangerous.
Don't text and drive, but when you've got A4 sheets in front of your eyes.
And from, because the first time I drove from Manchester to Chester to see the girlfriend I had at Chester Uni, I'd not had any lessons on how to drive on the motorway. So I went.
Were you in Manchester, front of the tank?
I was in front of the tank. And I went from Manchester to Chester on roads. On roads. So we're talking
on the road again.
About 12 A4 pages of route planner from the AA.
The worst bit, if you mixed them up. Oh, Jesus. I'm on page 3 of 12.
Honestly, the older generation, and that route planner was like revolutionary for a while.
Yeah.
So how people were able to, you know, you think of like delivery drivers, there probably wasn't as many back then as there are now.
No.
But how they would be able to deliver, you know,
Takeaways. Well, I mean, that's one big shout out to Dad, and we need to do some shout outs because I feel like we're both going to be disowned by our parents and divorced.
They don't listen anyway. So.
No, but Dad was unbelievable, like driver knowledge of places. The taxi driving obviously helped, but he was hot at journeys.
Oh, he knew his.
And then do you remember when he used to do his late night shifts as a taxi driver? Yeah. I'm sure I may have mentioned this in the past. He always. And then obviously in the holidays he'd do daytime shifts. When it was really sunny, he'd always burn one arm,
yeah.
But then he also listened to the radio non-stop, so he would know all the lyrics to all the tunes. Do you remember when he rapped the whole of Coolio's Gangster's Paradise? Like, literally out of nowhere. I was like, what? Why have you got that bandana around your head?
As I walked through the valley of the shadow of death.
And he was like, I take a look at my life, I realise there's nothing left. I was going, what?
It was cool, wasn't he, for about a week. Because I remember because I had Now That's What I Call Music 32.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the big one on there.
That was a banger.
And I remember getting it on the CD player, playing it, and then Dad
suddenly broke out into Coolio's rapping. What a legend.
I heard a story and it made me feel sick. This part Outcast isn't the place I was expecting it.
Ooh, what a gross kid. Why is he doing that? Why'd he put his fingers so far up that cat? I don't think I've ever seen the human body doing that.
Gross.
Right, we've got some more of your listener stories. So we're going to start with a couple of disgustings and we'll go from there. So everyone who works in primary education knows how woefully underfunded and under-resourced SEN provision is, and how we as schools do our utmost for those children and their families with extreme additional needs. Little rant over. Couldn't agree more, by the way. And as we discussed, it was in the news over the weekend about the pay dispute and how they've been recommended to give 6.5%. And again, I made a video going, unless it's funded, ain't going to make any difference, because it doesn't matter what, obviously it does matter, but if it, anything they suggest, if it's unfunded, is just going to make things 10 times worse. And it will be the likes of SEND provision that takes the hit even more than, yeah. Anyway, right, so we had a child in year two who was still in nappies and had very little speech. One day he was waddling down the corridor with his amazing TA when she asked if I could help change the child, as it was a two-man job. No problem. On went the gloves, rolled up the sleeves, and he lay on the changing mat. Now anyone who has changed an excitable toddler knows how tricky it is with waving arms and legs everywhere. Try it with a seven-year-old. Adding to the mix, both myself and TA are of a certain age and we're both having a hot flush while also wearing face masks and glasses. Neither of us could see a thing. We got the job done with minimal gagging and off I went to my classroom. Once in there, I could smell poo. I mouthed to my TA, code brown, and like a well-oiled machine, we swept down the classroom in a pincer movement to sniff out the offending item / child. My TA kept shaking her head from side to side of the room whilst I earmarked around 15 potential culprits. I love how regimented this is. Yeah. Like, this is... We met at the front to have a little chat where the smell was coming from.
Met at the front.
Let's do some recon.
Yeah. When suddenly, she recoiled in horror. Beknown to me, whilst helping the previous... helping change the previous child, he had put his poo-filled hand on my head when I was bent down putting his shoes on.
Love that. 15 potential culprits while she's an actual poo head.
She's got a handprint on her head. I can safely say that a bloody wet paper towel does not get poo out of your hair. It makes it worse.
Oh, that's so good. It makes it worse. It would make it worse because you'd have poo and then you'd have that weird, wet, crumbly bits of green or blue paper towel.
My long commute home was very breezy as I had to drive with all four windows down. Oh. Tell you what, though, let us know the shampoo, because there's a new advertising campaign.
Yeah.
Head and Shoulders.
It'll get poo out your hair.
Oh, God.
That's good.
Because that could have gone... If like that, this is, again, a reason why TA is worth the weight in gold. Had a TA not been there, she would have spent the whole afternoon going round.
So that's the TA, though, that changed with her?
No. That was
a different TA.
Yeah.
Because they both had steamed up glasses.
with the steamed up glasses. is the TA to the child.
Sorry, right, yeah.
So she asked for a bit of help, gloves went on.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's so funny.
Oh, God. Right, another disgusting. During a parent meeting, I turned around midway to find a child, albeit a younger sibling, but still, taking a poo on my classroom carpet. Curling a turd. Yeah. A full-on strain was on the child's face as he dropped a large one on my carpet.
A full-on Shania strain.
That don't impress me much. To make it worse, the parent noticed, looked and said nothing. Like,
that's poor. That you'd come poor. In like a doggy bag, wouldn't you? You'd be like, oh, let me scoop that up for you. Sorry about that.
I suppose it depends. During a parent meeting, obviously the parent was not impressed. Yeah, you carry on slagging my kid off. That's what's going to happen. Because what was the film where someone does it?
Well, Amber Heard did it in real life.
Signed off, Mrs. Heard. No, I was not the same teacher for the rest of the parent consultations that evening.
Oh, my God.
I won't be the same teacher for the rest of my
life. The weirdest thing is that the kid, strain on his face, would have looked the teacher in the eye whilst he was... Did he say curling 1 hour? Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
The strain on his face. That's force. That's trying out.
What was the parents' evening story we had recently? Oh, it was the guy farted and was like...
ooh, that's a bad one.
Batted and wafted it. I don't know. Would you reckon that's worse? Because yeah. parents' reaction to that is like, if that was me, as in I was the parent, you'd be so apologetic.
You'd just be like, let me clean it up. What do you need? You yeah. wouldn't just be like, come on.
The child scratching the carpet like my dog does when it poos.
The child slow mo running Shania's strain. So glad we made it. Oh, God.
Man, I feel like...
yeah, I feel 10 pounds lighter.
Oh, my God. Right, I don't know how... This is the thing. These are the stuff. These are the sort of things teachers never dream of having to put up with when they go into the profession.
Adverts don't show this, do they? You know, it's just like, oh, yeah, right there, lad. Come on, let's go and see what we can do about it. Instead, that would be more accurate, be a teacher. Some days are great, but then you might have to put up with something like this. Come on, then. Parent. Come on, then. Hop along. Put your pants up. Come on.
Yeah.
Join teaching today.
Choose teaching. Just the other day, working in my nursery, my colleague let me know she was leaving the room to clean up a child who had had a little accident in his trousers. It appeared he'd been playing around down there as the colleague was carefully trying to keep his hands from touching anything as they left the room. I smiled to myself, thankful I didn't have to deal with this today. A few minutes later, I was clearing up, emptying water trays, picking up jigsaws, and what I thought was a pine cone. Only to realise I'd picked up his poop that he'd kindly laid on a shelf.
I mean, what? Has he carved it? I mean, if it looks like a pine cone, that would hurt on exit. Oh, let me just pick that random pine cone up. Oh, nope, it's poop.
Oh, God. Just sort of like, God, don't envy you. Anyway.
Oh, not again.
Right, let's now move on to some weird parent interactions.
Kid, you've got weird parents. It all makes sense now, 'cause you're a little freaky dicky kid too. Weird parents.
Right, here we go. So, embarrassing parents evening. I previously taught a child in year 2, now year 5, and so parents knew me pretty well. Mum asked about my granddad. However, he had died the week before and I burst into tears. The mortification on both sides. Eventually, I was able to pull myself together and carry on. Because sometimes you just have those moments, don't you, where... sometimes it hits you without even realising, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like grief.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. It can be
come out of nowhere. During parents' evening as an NQT, a dad put his hand over the top of mine.
So she's like there going, yeah, so Susie's doing great, and then the dad's just gone, is she?
I didn't know where to look and pulled my hand away and rushed through the rest of it. If he did it now, he'd get a right telling off.
Right. So was she like, so Susie's doing great in maths, the hand goes on, and she's doing all right in English, okay, in science, history, geography, okay, bye-bye now, bye-bye then. So I whizzed straight through it. Oh, yeah, she's great, man.
Like Ace Ventura. Yeah. She's making good progress in history. Geography still a bit of a sore subject for PE. She's doing all right. There we go. I was 34 weeks pregnant and my waters broke during parents' evening, but because I didn't have any pain and it wasn't like you see in what you see in the movies, I wasn't convinced that was definitely what was happening. So I sat for a further hour and a half, finished all my appointments and called my midwife when I got home.
What did she just think when she sat there? Oh no, I think I might piss myself. Anyway, let's crack on.
Anyway, in PE, she's making bloody great progress. Yeah.
Sorry about the mess there. We'll get a caution wet floor sign there.
just the child appearing during the... Oh, sorry about him there.
Yeah.
So she had me rush in straight away. I had my baby less than a week later. I had to pass a message on to our caretaker to deep clean my chair.
Which chair? If well, it's one of those fabrics. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. My days.
Oh, water's broke, just carrying on that pen.
I mean, that's commitment, isn't it? That is commitment of the highest degree. Are you sure you're okay to do this? Sorry, it's contraction coming on. So Johnny's doing well.
But his handwriting really needs to improve.
I bet the parent was like, how's parents' evening? I think Miss was giving birth.
I don't think you're going to have to teach her much longer. I think you're going to have a new teacher by Monday. Was it that bad? The weirdest interaction with a parent was when I had a gynecology appointment at my local hospital. My heart sank when I saw that the nurse was a mum of a child I taught a few years previously. Luckily, she kept away from the business end and left it to the doctor. We ended up having quite a nice chat with my legs in the air, and it actually took my mind off things. We did see the funny side, though.
I'm sure we've had something similar to that, haven't we?
We've had a few like
that. God, I'd hate that.
Oh, God.
I'd absolutely hate that. If it was kind of like, oh, I need a groin exam. Okay, take your pants off. Nurse is coming in now. And it's a parent. I'd just be like, you've got to be kidding. Freezing cold room.
In the second book, which, again, available, the paperback's coming out in...
July.
I talk about the most embarrassing experience I've ever had with a parent.
Yeah.
And I purposely have not mentioned it on the podcast. I don't think I mentioned it
on
the
podcast. No, you've not.
But I saved it for the book, so yeah. And I'd say it's worse than that. I'd say it's worse.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a crack of that.
Quite literally. I was halfway through my parents' evening, which up until this point was going well. I just sat down with the next parent when I had to excuse myself from the appointment. I ran down the corridor, past all of the waiting parents to the staff toilets, where I immediately threw up several times. After composing myself and ensuring I looked presentable, I walked back past all the parents waiting in the corridor to my classroom and resumed the appointment with the parent who had been sat patiently waiting for me to return and was hopefully none the wiser. I finished my parents' evening speaking with all the parents that had appointments before taking 3 days off work with a sickness bug.
I was going to say, so you've got all of those families ill.
Yeah.
And the best thing, you know, walked past all the parents, went into the toilet. You would have heard sitting outside that toilet, oh! And then just coming back out like, hi, nice to see you. You okay? Yeah, you're all right. See you soon. Yeah. Sat down, the parent just looking like, why are your eyes so bloodshot? Yeah. Why is there a carrot on your chin?
What's that smell? Oh, just a kid laid a tear before.
I think her water's broke.
Oh, God. Right, have you got some tea to tie
well,
then?
The first thing I wanted to do, because some of these are brilliant, and it'll only take me a minute. So, we posted a clip a while back, and I've been banging him on TikTok. If you don't follow on TikTok, loads of pod stuff on there, at Podcast Parky on TikTok. And it was when we did the bit about when you work with children, some of the crazy things that you say as a staff member.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Now, one of the most popular is pick your balls up, you know, end your football, whatever. Yeah. To a year one boy, please don't lick the urinals. Try to put your balls on the shed. I work in a nursery. My favourite sentence ever was, Ben, stop biting Aaron's balls. Listen to this one. Take the worm out of your pocket and put it in the soil. No, don't hang it from the tree. In the soil, please.
Oh, God.
I said to a child in nursery, why are you giving them your poo?
It's a pine cone.
To a preschool child, if you keep playing with it, it's going to go hard. I was referring to blue tack.
I was thinking plasticine.
And then last one. She's not looking at you funny. That's just a face. And then, yeah, some teacher tired here. Now, it's perfect.
We had a jingle for this one.
I think so. I think so, hopefully. Right. If not, ooh, Ted, ooh, Ted, things are going to get easier. Half term. Oh, yeah. Well, a bit of a mashup, right.
You're tired, it makes sense. These kids send you round the bend. They're sent from up above to test your mental strength.
So some teacher tireds here. I was marking books and wrote, check your smellings. putting deep heat on as deodorant. Ouch.
Oh, no. No, no, no. Oh.
You wouldn't be able to wash that off for weeks.
Oh. Right, so we obviously played a lot of rugby, yeah, as youths, and deep heat got passed around a little bit.
Oh, if it got on.
It was when I remember coming back from, like, I twinged my hammy, put the deep heat on, went to the toilet. So it was on my fingers, and then you touched you. Oh, it was the most painful.
It is. That is the most,
as the cranberry says, it lingers.
Yeah.
It does linger, deep heat. Oh, that's a tough one.
I've twice fallen asleep while standing waiting for food. Once for the microwave, the other in line in the cafeteria. Both times I woke up to see children and colleagues watching and giggling. How do people fall asleep?
No,
but just
up.
Like, just, you know, stood waiting to go and evolve and click your name, and then you're just like.
Some people can do that though, can't they? Can literally fall asleep
at any point.
It's so annoying because it's like flying. I can never fall asleep on a plane.
Oh, I can.
I can't because it's too uncomfortable.
And then finally, I used to teach in London. The amount of times I tried to get through the underground barriers using my teacher fob.
Yeah, I can imagine that happening.
And the amount of times I tried to get into school scanning my debit card.
Oyster card.
And was completely dumbfounded as to why it wasn't working.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I can imagine.
Brilliant.
That. Right, we're going to finish with a little confession here. And this is an absolute doozy.
Well, you look like you got something to say. Maybe you flashed your boss or kissed your TA. Maybe a kid in class called you a name, so you marked down their grade. We won't promise not to laugh if you're a member of staff. Cleanse your soul and tell us all of your confessions.
So this comes courtesy of Fesshole on Twitter. So I can't believe this is true.
You don't think it is?
I don't know. But genius. Genius.
We'll let you be the judge.
Yeah. Years ago, I went for a teaching job against one other candidate. I really wanted the role. So when interviews were over, I had a friend ring the school, pretending to be the other candidate, and withdrew them from the process. Afterwards, I got a call to say I had the job.
I mean, it's a Mourinho-esque tactical masterclass.
It is a masterclass, but I mean...
But don't... I mean, she's starting off on the wrong note there. I mean, but clearly didn't back herself, or himself, to get the job.
Yeah. Well, I'm going... I'm assuming... Rightly or wrong, I'm assuming FEMA. But how do you know if your friend phones up, they're going to have the same tone?
Yeah. Like the like you've mistaken like a male member of staff that works at that school, and you've gone, right, I'm up against someone here, I think his name's David, and then you
Yeah, you'd also have to find out the name of the candidate. Yeah,
but you'd just be like, hello, it's David.
Hi, I'm the person who applied for the job. Oh, yeah, which one?
Aline or Yvonne?
Yeah, not Yvonne. All right, yeah, okay, Elaine, yeah. I am not going to want the job.
Yes,
yeah.
Elaine, that is me.
That is my name. But, I mean, hats off if it works, because, I mean, obviously that wouldn't work now because there are literally so many jobs that no one's applying for.
But you know what, though?
But years ago.
Because the thing is, if you've withdrawn from the job and you're that Elaine, you'd be like, that is the rudest school. But not even like getting in touch to, you'd ring one, you'd be like, just wondering for any feedback.
Yeah.
And then they'd be like, you withdrew. Oh, I mean, it's juicy. I like it.
There's a second part to that, isn't there? But yeah, unless the person just never, because sometimes you don't always phone for feedback, do you?
Do you know what I think it happened?
What if the other candidate had already phoned? Two phone calls. So, yeah, actually,
I'm thinking that candidate who didn't get the job because of the false phone call, another job comes up in the next half term. She goes for that, gets it, then gets friendly with that teacher, and then that teacher in drinks at the works do goes, hey, you'll never guess how I got my job. I was up against this one person for, you know, the role of the year four teacher, rang up, pretended to be them, and she was like, that was you. Oh, the drama. Yeah,
it would be good. So if you've got a similar confession, we'd love to hear it. We are getting lots of stories and confessions through for the next live tour, so we are going to be working through them, and obviously the best will be featured in all of our live shows. We're heading here, there and everywhere, starting in Glasgow on the 15th of October, finishing in Northampton, and we're here, there and everywhere in between the 2 weeks over the half term in October. So please do come and support us. We're playing really big venues. We'd love as many of you to join us as possible. We've done it in the half term so that hopefully you can make a day, night, weekend of it, whatever it might be. So head to twomrpspodcast.com where you can share your dilemmas. Even if you're not coming to a show, share them, because if they're really good, we'll either share them on the episode or put them in the show. And we will be back in a couple of weeks, where, prepare yourself, I suspect the first episode back will be a Disney rundown.
No, thanks. I just want to tell you,
it was the last Florida holiday where we came up with the idea for the podcast.
It's true.
So I might come up with a new idea for a new podcast there.
See, I knew you were in that mood.
I'm going with Claire's brother, who's called Lee. So we could be called Two Lees in a podcast.
Nah, try. Both, yeah. You need the other Mr. P. You need the renegade. The big dog.
Oh, God.
I just want to take this opportunity to say happy 8-year wedding anniversary to my wife. I love you. I didn't mean anything that I said, but no joke, if you scream and tell me to stop while we drive again, you can please exit
Thank
the vehicle.
Thank God you said drive. We've got to go now because Adam's got to do his jobs. He's got to put those bins out.
Hey, what day is it?
It's Monday.
Oh, God, plenty of time.
We got to rinse those plates.
Ooh,
right.
Yeah.
Take care. See you on the other side. Have a good half term. And don't forget, don't waste your time with your end of year written reports. Just get them done with Teach Mate.
AI.